was one of the greatest storytellers of our time. And I can remember as a little kid laying in bed with the covers pulled over my head with a flashlight, reading one fish, two fish, three fish, green eggs and ham, you know. But I got to tell you, one of my favorite stories is the story about the Grinch who stole Christmas. We took our grandchildren the other night to watch the Grinch who stole Christmas. And there's a couple of different movies. There's a cartoon that was made earlier, and then there was one that Jim Carrey made, which were good. But I tell you, this was the best one yet. If you get a chance to go see it, go see it. I really recommend it. But the premise of the story was the Grinch, he hated the Whos and Whovilles so badly that he wanted them to be unhappy. Kind of sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it? See, the devil hates all mankind, and he wants us to be as miserable as he is. Therefore, his desire is to keep Christmas from coming, the true Christmas from coming. But what would have happened if he had succeeded? That first Noel never happened. Mankind would have never known the righteousness of God, would he? So we're going to talk about this morning. Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing upon the word?
Father, we are so blessed that we can be in your presence this morning. Lord, we just ask that your anointing spirit be upon Pastor Terry as he delivers the gospel of truth. And may we not merely just listen to the words, but Father, to actually do what it says. We ask this in the name above all names.
You guys know the song, don't you? You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Well, one year, this guy, he decides that he's going to go down into Whoville and stop their Christmas celebration. He sneaks down the mountain. He steals all the gifts, the Christmas trees, all the food, all the ornaments, all the lights, everything. He thinks that he has wiped out every sign of Christmas. Seems to be a popular thing with some people today, even. A lot of people don't want to even hear Christmas. They say happy holidays. Don't want to have a Christmas tree up. Definitely don't want to have a nativity scene up, you know. They want to wipe out every sign of Christmas. But the thing I find amazing about this story is that he failed to stop these little people from celebrating. They sang anyway. Folks, the Grinch is alive and well today. Do you know that? There's always been Grinches. And the reason why is because of the influence the enemy has on the lives of people. There's always been a lot of Grinches, Ebenezer Scrooges, Richard Dawkins. For those who don't know who he is, he's an avowed atheist. One of the most famous Grinches that lived in the days of the Lord Jesus, of course, was King Herod. He really did try to stop Christmas. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came from Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." I find that interesting because I never noticed that before. I knew Herod was troubled, but it says all Jerusalem also was troubled. When you start talking about the king, people get troubled, don't they? "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd his people Israel.'" Shepherd my people Israel, rather. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" Now, Scripture tells us that these wise men were divinely warned in a dream not to return to Herod. In Matthew 2, verse 16 through 18, it says, "And Herod, when he had saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he went sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then was fulfilled the which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now, here's these wise men following the supernatural star and asking, where is the king of the Jews that's to be born? What's Herod's reaction? He's threatened by all this news because he thinks he's about to lose all his material possessions, all of his authority, his power, his position. He thinks he's going to lose it all. And folks, isn't it true that a lot of times people don't come to the king because they're afraid they're going to have to give up so much, they're going to lose so much. But if you think about what Herod did here, it's really kind of dumb, right? Because what could be possibly threatening about a baby? Huh? And if this child was the Messiah, what maniac would try to stand against the Messiah? This guy was out of his gourd. So going back to the story of the Grinch made the same mistake. He focused on the material aspect. He thought he could steal Christmas. But can Christmas really be stolen? Well, not the real Christmas. You can't. And again, if you ask the average American about Christmas, what's the first thought that pops into your head about Christmas? Gifts, lights, music, trees, sales, decoration, bills, celebrations, food, and family. I think that it's true that we do overemphasize the material aspects of Christmas. But would Christmas still be Christmas without all those things? I mean, the real Christmas would be. Economic hard times can knock at everybody's door. And if Christmas is all about the visible things, then I think indeed the Grinch can steal Christmas from us. We don't have to let that happen, you see. I like how C.S. Lewis put it. He identified our problem today. He said this: we celebrate two holiday days on December 25th. One we call Xmas, Christ is not in the situation, and the other we call Christmas. Maybe we ought to separate the two and understand that they are actually two different holidays. On the Xmas side, we have the figure Santa Claus. On the Christmas side, we have another figure, the Lord Jesus. On the Xmas side, we have symbols, a Christmas tree, jingle bells, and reindeers. And on the Christmas side, we also have symbols, a manger, shepherd, and wise men. On the Xmas side, we have presents, trinkets that we buy that often cost too much. On the Christmas side, we have the priceless gift that will last forever. It's important that we separate the two holidays in our minds because Grinches can steal Xmas, but Grinches cannot steal Christmas. Circumstances can rob us of Xmas. If we can't buy gifts, if we don't have the money, if we aren't invited to the right places, we kind of feel left out. If our kids are gone, if we're suffering from pain and hardship, a lot of times those things can rob us of Xmas, because Xmas depends on circumstances. But God wants us to understand the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas reminds us that God is near, that He's always near. All the other things of Xmas seem to blind us from that fact. People really are celebrating this time of year, but in fact, there's a lot of blindness in them. And Brother Bob Evans, he was blind, and for 51 years of life, he lived in a dark world filled with sounds. He didn't have any sight at all. Then delicate surgery was performed, and for the first time in his life, he could see. He has written of experiences of seeing things for the first time, and he wrote, I couldn't believe yellow. I never dreamed that yellow was so, well, yellow. And red is my favorite color. It's so brilliant. It's so warm and penetrating. Then there's the airplanes flying high in the sky, stretching their vapor trails behind them. I love watching airplanes. And the sunsets. There are times when I just sit outside and drink in the beauty of a sunset, followed by the night filled with the brilliant light of the stars blinking in the heavens. Then he asks, I wonder if you realize just how wonderful the gift of sight really is. We've always seen, haven't we? We just open our eyes, and sometimes we need a little help with glasses to correct our vision, to bring things into focus. But most of us have always had this wonderful gift of sight. Bob Evan goes on to say this, all my life I was surrounded by beauty, and I never realized it until now. I didn't even know what I was missing. Folks, I believe that it's possible for us to be the same way with God too. We come to church, we sing songs of praises, we read the Word and what have you, and yet people never really experience God in a real personal way. They know of Him, they know what the other peoples have experienced, but they've never really allowed themselves to experience Him. Maybe our goal for this Christmas ought to be to know Jesus for ourselves in a real personal way. Because the message of Christmas is this. Heaven visited earth and made possible for earth to get right with God. God became flesh and dwelt among us for this brief period of time so that the eyes of man could behold Him and their ears could listen to what He had to say. Question is, are you ready to see His majesty? Are you ready to behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you ready to be in His presence? One thing is for sure, God is ready and God is anxious to reveal Himself to us. The real Christmas comes whether there are cards, presents, or trees, feasts, or parties. Christmas comes anyway. And it's important for us to realize that nothing can rob us of the joy of the real Christmas. Every year people say, oh, I dread Christmas. I hate to think Christmas is coming again. See, those are people who are celebrating Xmas. They're caught up in the pressure and the expense and the materialism of everything. But the people who get the most out of it are celebrating the joy and the wonder and the grandeur of that first of the birth of Jesus on that day. They understand what it means that, in fact, the Savior came into this world. So the question is, I would leave you this, is which Christmas are you going to be celebrating, the Xmas or literal Christmas? Or is it even possible to separate the two? Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here, because I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating and doing things about what the Xmas way, as long as Christ is in it. But I think that we have to keep our minds focused upon the real joy and the real meaning. And I want to offer some suggestions, I believe, that will help you to celebrate the real Christmas. First, I think it's important to make sure that we take the time to get quiet before the Lord so that you can hear and so that you can see the Lord Jesus. Because if there's too much noise, too much confusion, a lot of times people have a hard time hearing and seeing the Lord Jesus and knowing what He wants us to know. I think it's really important that we take the time apart from the noise and confusion of celebration and just get someplace quiet along the way. You know, turn your phone off, turn the TV off, and just simply listen before God. Speak to me, God. What do you want me to know? How can I draw near to you? Interesting that there is a psalm that says in Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on the earth. You see, God wants us to come to that place where He is in the forefront above everything else. the trappings of this world. I mean, they're temporal. They're going to pass away, but he will endure forever. I want you to notice that when the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus, that they didn't go to the busy streets of Bethlehem. A lot of people were in Bethlehem in that day. They came there to pay their taxes. Merchants were busy getting everything, you know, ready for that and to squeeze every ounce of money that they could get from those who were coming into town at that particular time. The inns were full. The streets were actually full. So why didn't the angels appear on these busy streets of Bethlehem and sing their song of peace on earth and goodwill toward men? Why did they select the hills outside of Bethlehem where there were shepherds who were watching over their flocks? Maybe if they hovered over Bethlehem, people wouldn't have listened. Why do we need to get silent before God? They were too busy doing too many things. And it was indeed the shepherds who were still and quiet tending these flocks. And they were the ones who listened. And they were the ones who would actually see with their own eyes and hear that little babe. Folks, I truly believe that this is a lesson we need to learn. Secondly, I think that maybe we need to learn to clean house. Now, I don't know about you guys, but you've got grandkids, you've got kids on Christmas morning. It makes quite a mess, doesn't it? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our hearts, what's in our lives. Is there room in our hearts? Because we have so many images and so many thoughts that clutter our hearts, that there's no room for the things of God. Maybe it's time we started to clean up our lives to make room for Jesus. Don't you think? Thirdly, we need to become involved in the lives of other people who are hurting. This is so important. There's a strong desire for us to focus inward and to buy gifts for other people and for the people that we love, like family members and so on. And again, there can be a strong temptation to pat each other on the back and wish each other Merry Christmas. And be immune to the hurt and the heartaches of those who are outside, who are out in the world. I heard a story this morning that really moved me. A story happened during World War II when some soldiers entered into a village that was war-torn. And there was an orphanage. And in the orphanage, there were several children. It was Christmas Day. These children had nothing. These soldiers, they went and they searched amongst themselves to find something that they'd give these kids for Christmas. And one had a stick of gum, another had a little piece of candy, other little trinket and what have you. One soldier, he sees a little boy over in the corner held up by himself. He said, "Son, what can I give you?" And he said, "Would you hold me?" Folks, that's what God wants to do to you. He wants to hold you. He wants to love on you, let you know that he's there and that he cares. And that old Grinch is trying to steal that from you, trying to keep you from that knowledge. But he loves you more than you'll ever know. The Bible says that the church, we are an extension to Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we are to walk like Jesus. And folks, if Jesus taught us anything, it was that Christians must be concerned about people who don't know him and people who are in need. We are his ambassadors, and as ambassadors, we have a responsibility to reach out to in a loving way, in an unselfish way, and to communicate the real message of God's love for them. One of my favorite Christmas stories is about an old shoe cobbler who dreamed one Christmas Eve that Jesus would come and visit him the next day. The dream was so real that he was convinced that it would come true. So So the next morning he got up and went out, and he cut green branches and decorated the little cobbler's shop, got ready for Jesus to come and visit. He was so sure that Jesus was going to come that he sat down and he waited for him. The hours passed, Jesus didn't come. The old man came, but an old man came. He came inside for a moment to get warm out of the winter cold. And the cobbler talked with him, and he noticed he had holes in the old man's shoes, so he reached up on a shelf and got him a new pair of shoes. Made sure they fit, and that his socks were dry, and he sent him on his way. Still he waited, but Jesus didn't come. An old woman came, the woman who hadn't had a decent meal for 2 days. They sat and visited for a while, and he prepared some food, and he gave her a nourishing meal and sent her on her way. Then he sat down again and wait for Jesus, and Jesus still didn't come. Then he heard a little boy crying out in the front of his shop, and he went out and he talked with the little boy and discovered that the boy had gotten separated from his parents and didn't know how to get home. So he put on his coat, took the boy by the hand, and led him home. When he came back to his little shop, it was almost dark, and the streets were emptied of people. And then in a moment of despair, he lifted his voice to heaven. He said, "Oh Lord Jesus, why didn't you come?" Then in his silence, he seemed to hear a voice saying, "Oh shoe cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. 3 times I knocked at your friendly door. 3 times my shadow fell across the floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the boy on the homeless street." Jesus had come. The cobbler just had not realized it. Folks, Jesus came to set the captive free. That's the wonderful message of Christmas. In 2 Peter 1:16, it says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of His majesty." He is always there. And you can be an eyewitness of His majesty. We just often do not focus on the very thing that God wants us to focus on. Again, Peter said, "We saw Him with our own eyes. We heard Him with our own ears. We're not living fairy tales." My prayer for you and my prayer for me for this Christmas season is that we'll not just celebrate Xmas, but that we'll really celebrate Christmas. That we will be able to see Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and our Savior too. Now Herod, he knew what he should do. "Point Him out and I'll go and worship Him too," he said. But he never submitted to Christ. You see, self always wants to stay on the throne. Self always wants to be in control. Self is only concerned about me, myself, and I. God wants us to put Him first. Jesus set the example for us when He said, "Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." But Herod wasn't willing to submit to that. He was unwilling to turn his kingdom over to Jesus. Question for you this morning: are you willing to turn your kingdom over to Jesus? Herod felt his individuality, his freedom, would be threatened by this child king. And he felt it was better to snuff the life out of this child king than to cramp his lifestyle. Folks, you can have all the gifts, you can put up the trees, you can cook all the fancy foods, and you can play Christmas music, but folks, if you are refusing to surrender your kingdom to the one who was in that manger, you're rebelling just as much as Herod did. And like the Grinch who stole Christmas, you'll have a deep, dark void where your heart used to be. You can go ahead and ignore Christ and act like that He's a usurper. You can try to remove Him from your world, but it won't work. He is Lord. Herod had scribes who read him scriptures and prophecies about the Messiah. And he knew what the Word had to say. For example, Isaiah 9:6-7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, in order to establish it with justice, or judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore, God's still working today. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I share this with you because this is not only the season of giving, but it's also the season of coming to the Son of God. With the announcement of the birth of Jesus, the King of the Jews, Herod didn't think, oh, how wonderful. But something like, oh, how dreadful. And when we get our eyes off the hope of Christmas on these other things, people can begin to grinch. They can be like Ebenezer Scrooge. Instead of saying, how wonderful, say, oh, how dreadful. Let's acknowledge the King and acknowledge the fact that the true Christmas story is a powerful story and will have a great impact upon your life. One brother told about traveling to the Holy Land. And while there, he bought a nativity set. It was carved out of olive wood in the town of Bethlehem. And all the traditional figures were there, the sheep, the oxen, the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and of course, baby Jesus. As he began to return home, he had to go through a very strict security at Tel Aviv Airport. He didn't figure that nativity set would attract any attention, but he was wrong. Each figure was carefully scrutinized and even x-rayed. Martin asked, why are they being so diligent? The security officer explained that it was because they needed to make sure that there was nothing explosive in them. Church, the Christmas story is explosive. It's part of the dynamite of the gospel message. There's power in knowing that the Almighty God loved us enough to come to this earth, to be born and live a perfect life and die for our sins and be raised from the dead and to give us the promise of new, abundant, eternal life. Amen. That light, it shone above where Jesus was, but He was the true light. His light dispels darkness in our lives. John 8 and 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does darkness produce in us? It always has. Fear. Uncertainty. Parents put a little night light out at night for their children because even just a little bit of light dispels that darkness. When God sent His Son into that manger, there was like that nightlight that came on and said, it's going to be okay. I got you. He sent His Son to come and to dispel the greatest fear that man has. And that's the fear of death. Isaiah 9 and 2, it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. You see, death means separation. There's little physical death, but there is a spiritual death too. Jesus came to give life and light. They lived in the land of the shadow of death, both physically and spiritually. That can be a very scary prospect, but Jesus came into this world to save us from that. To give us a hope that goes beyond this life. That's explosive, folks. That truly is explosive if we will meditate on those things. Of course, those who would be a Grinch would be like Herod. Unfortunately, they love death. They love darkness rather than light. Proverbs 8:36 says, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. John 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Somebody want to shout? Somebody want to get happy about that? When you receive Jesus like this, not only, you know, does God give you that experience with himself, but your outlook towards your other brothers and sisters in the Lord and everybody around you even changes. Just like the Grinch's heart swelled two sizes larger that day. I'm telling you, something happens within the believer when they come to know the reality of what Jesus has done for them. Makes your heart swell. What's that song? Makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. Makes you love people. Before I was a believer, I didn't like Christians. Didn't want to be around Christians. But my heart swelled a couple sizes larger. 1 John 3:14 says, for we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So we're also told that if we have that light of life, let it shine. Let it shine for others to see. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Philippians 2:15, this is one of my favorites. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's what Jesus came into. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're to be in and to shine, not to stay in that dark place. I'll leave you this last scripture in Ephesians 4:17-18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Listen, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of the heart. Now I know that Grinch story is just a children's story, but there's morals there that are applicable to us. This can be one of the best Christmases you've ever had when you experience it the right way. I want to encourage you to get your mind off the bills and things like that, even buying gifts for other people. Unless it means giving to those who may not have. Because this is very important, folks, because this is what we're called to be a light. Be a light. I heard a story of a man said, hey, brother, you got a light. He just wanted a light for a cigarette. And he said, a light? He goes, and I thought about it. Hey, brother, I got a light. And he began to share the gospel message with him. And the man got saved. How often have we had opportunities that we simply are silent? It's time to shine. Amen. Great time to start at Christmas time. Amen. Let's bow our heads.